Well, our guest this morning is Sandy Brown, and we know her through radio circles, but we hope that you'll get a chance to know her as well. She is the author of a new book called Healing Out Loud, and this probably feels familiar to a lot of us, How to Embrace God's Love When You Don't Like Yourself. Sandy, thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us this morning.
Hey, Amanda. Hey, Jeremy. Thank you for the time.
So I think the first place to start, where did this book come from?
Well, a place of honest vulnerability, right? I looked at my life as others did from the outside in, and it looked fine. Love my husband. Husband loves me. Love my family. Love my job. Love everything. And yet, I honestly had to admit something's off, because I know God loves me and I'm loved by other people intellectually, but emotionally, I feel unloved. I feel like a failure, and I don't know how these things both coexist in my life, so I reached out to a counselor and said, something's wrong. Mm. I intellectually know one thing, but I emotionally feel something else, and I know it's in conflict with God's best for my life. Help me figure this out. We journeyed for a year together in counseling, and then once that ended, we formed a friendship and just decided, you know what, this journey was so rich. We would love to share the healing journey that I've experienced and that she led me through with other people, because I'm not the only person who felt that way, who feels that way.
I opened up your book last night and started reading it, and it felt like a little too close to home in certain ways. And I know that a lot of people feel this way. Like you said, I'm confident in being a mother. I'm confident in being a wife. I know that people really appreciate what I do. And yet I still feel unlovable. And you guys worked together to get to a point where you talk about shame. And you said, I didn't feel like I was carrying shame, but there were things that happened in my life that I was holding on to, and it was coming out in a lot of different areas. Can you speak to that at all?
Who wants to say they wrestle with shame, right?
Right.
Like, it's such an icky word. And so when she, my counselor, Dr. Koch, first put it on the table, like, how long have you been wrestling with shame? I actually looked back at her. I'm like, look, I know you don't know me very well. I know me pretty well. I don't wrestle with shame. And then when she said, well, do you wrestle with these things, and began to paint a picture, I just started to cry. And I didn't want to admit that the word shame was in my life, but the evidence was clear. I had this deep sense that something was wrong with me, like broken inside, unfixed, that no one liked me, that I didn't like myself, that I was a failure. And admitting that was one thing, but when she explained, look, Sandy, shame tries to convince you of something that's not true. Then that got my attention. If shame is evident, and the evidence is clear that it is, where are these untruths coming from, and why do I believe them so fully? And that's where the journey began, looking back into some memories that I honestly, as an adult, thought, hey, I've moved past, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing in my past that's going to still mess with me today. That's so shallow if that were true. But what was happening, the memory wasn't taunting me, but the messages were.
Mm.
Messages from past hurts had latched on and began to speak things to my heart that were not true, and largely blaming me for things that had been done. And so, yeah, it was an exploration that I didn't expect, I didn't want, but on the other side of it, so thankful we navigated through, because shame was talking to me every day, and I was believing it hook, line, and sinker, and it was not healthy or productive or good for my life.
One of the lines from your book, you said, pain can be ignored for a time, but not without consequence. I think many of us have had things happen in our lives in the past and think, I've moved past it, but that shame exists, and that stuff, it just nags at you, and it tells you that message that you are unlovable, you are unworthy, and even though I read in my Bible, God loves me, I cannot bring myself to believe it, and then I feel more ashamed because I know I'm not supposed to feel that way.
Yeah, I think every woman and probably every man on the planet feels shame, those negative voices, the tapes that play in our mind and heart. We don't know why, but there is added shame when you're a believer, because you know it's not God's best, and it's not what you want. You just don't know why, and you can't figure out, if you don't know why it's playing in your mind and where the voices are coming from, you don't know what to do about it. And that's why it took so long for me to admit, I love God, I know He loves me, but I don't like myself, and I need to figure this out. And it was really a year-long counseling journey of not digging stuff up, but it was, if there is unresolved pain, it deserves to be heard.
Mm.
You know, what was really happening, everything going on in my life that felt like a problem was really a warning like on a car, indicating, hey, something's going on under the hood here. Check it out before it gets really bad. It's not weak to say some past hurts are gnawing at you. It is a warning light to say, hey, pay attention to me. Will you listen to what I have to say? Will you wrestle with me, understand me? And then I'll be quiet. and we can move on and, you know, fix the car, so to speak. And God wired us that way, a very loving way. So, yeah, shame can speak loudly, but it doesn't have to be the loudest voice once processed, heard, and moved through.
Well, once again, we're speaking with Sandy Brown, author of the book Healing Out Loud, How to Embrace God's Love When You Don't Like Yourself. In the few minutes that we've been speaking already, Sandy, we've talked about negative self-talk. We've talked about counseling, shame, and some of these other things. And I feel like it centers around the idea of mental health. And with counseling in that, both of those seem to be difficult things for us to address. And I just would love to have you, maybe it's something from the book or just encouragement that you could pass along to someone who's challenged by dealing with those feelings because of the fear of addressing their own mental health or counseling.
The fear is real. I'm just going to say it. I think back to my life a few years ago, and I don't honestly know why I was so afraid to admit I needed help. The shame came from myself. I think there are a lot of great Christian counselors now who understand believers still wrestle with things and can offer great insight and help. And I would just say the world is talking about mental health right now. And there's been no better time if you're struggling with feelings that seem out of sync with your thoughts, feelings that seem out of sync with your faith, to invite someone to help you figure it out. It is not a sign of weakness. Mm. It's a very courageous step. And from one who has taken that step and then many others in healing, I'm so thankful I did it. I wish I would have done it earlier. It has impacted every relationship in my life. I have a more full emotional and intellectual understanding of God's love. My relationship with Him is better. My relationship with myself, how I dialogue internally with myself, and then with every relationship, my husband, my family, the ministry that I'm a part of, it has just enriched my life in such a way. So if there's any part of you that wants to reach out, but then there's also this other part that says that's a scary thing to do, look, it's scary to live with pain. It's scary to reach out for help. One is more hopeful than the other. Why not, if both are scary, why not take a step towards hope?
That's a good thought, Sandy. One of the things that I love about the format of the book is there are many different chapters, but each one starts with an entry from your personal journal about something you were walking through, something you were feeling. You begin the book just by being real open and honest about how you went to your best friend's, I believe it was bridal shower for her daughter, and you felt out of place and you felt like you didn't belong there. And then you're followed by your counselor who writes a really good piece about here's what this means, here's what this is, and here's what you can do to address it. I love how you came with that team approach when you wrote the book.
Well, I had seen books that had one lens, right? Someone's personal story. I've read books where there was a counselor. And so when we formed a friendship after counseling, it was, what if the book had both lenses? And then to top it all off, what if it really wasn't about our journey as much as it was about yours as the reader? So I hope when you read, you get my journal entry to start a chapter off, real time, what does healing or pain look like in the moment? You get some thoughts from me, and then Dr. Michelle comes and unpacks that. But what she really does is unpack it for you and your journey. So I hope that you hear a little bit of vulnerability, you hear a little bit of counseling, and then you process through that, because every chapter has thought-provoking questions and exercises for you to navigate through. So my biggest hope, if you read it, is that it becomes so much more about your journey than mine.
And I love that there are concrete things that you can do. There's a roadmap in here that's like, all right, this is the step. Here's the step where you do this thing. I think that's so helpful for so many of us who are like, just tell me what to do.
Yeah, the healing map, Dr. Michelle came up with that, and I love it because it shows where you're starting, but it gives hope that there's a destination. Not that there's an expiration on healing. I believe it's ongoing. That's the ing of healing, is that it's ongoing. But you can see that you're making progress. That's in the book as well. Here's where I'm starting. Here's how I'm going to navigate through shame and through anger and grief and loss, and what does better look like, and how do I know I'm improving? Like, all of that is a journey, and that's your journey. I mean, we again tell of ours so that you can relate to it, but the book really is about you and your journey, and I'm excited to see what God does in your life. I know what He's done in mine.
Now, Sandy, my understanding of this book is it seems to be maybe more directed towards women, and the information in it I think is good for both. But as a man, I'm just wondering on behalf of husbands and fiancés and boyfriends and other male roles, what can we do to support and encourage and love on the women in our life that might be facing some of these challenges?
I think you're right. The lens of the book is written by two women, and so women will certainly feel seen and known and loved. I can tell you that my husband, my sons, one of my coworkers, a male, all have read the book and have come away with great insight, not only for the women in their lives that they love, but also for themselves. Because let's just admit it, we all wrestle with shame. We've all had ways in the past in which we take away messages from things that have happened. And so I would hope, Jeremy, that there's some really good takeaways for you in the book, and then also to help you better understand the women in your life that you love, how to love them better through their shame and through their journey. So I have heard from the guys that have read it that it is helpful for them as well.
Well, Sandy, we are so thankful that you took a few minutes to talk to us today. I really do believe that this book is going to be transformational for a lot of people. And you said it out loud. You said, I know that God loves me. I love God, but I don't like myself. That's a huge step for so many of us to even just admit, because we don't feel like we should say that out loud. I am so thankful you wrote this book. I'm thankful for all the exercises in it. And I want people to know that it's available to them. So how can they get it?
Anywhere that books are sold. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble, ChristianBook.com. So check it out. And we do have a website, HealingOutLoudBook.com. Let us know what you think about it, how God's, you know, using the book in your life. So again, Healing Out Loud is the title. You can find it anywhere. And I hope you find not only the book, but healing.
I think you're being awfully humble by not saying it's number one on Amazon.
Well, you know, that can change, but for right now, it's, yeah, number one new release under the counseling category, so super proud about that, but I'm excited to see how God's going to use it.
Okay, Sandy, one last thing before we wrap up. I just want to give you one last opportunity to just share what you hope people will take away from this conversation.
That you can be honest about where you are, and you can be hopeful about where you can go. Mm. I know both are hard to believe, that I can really honestly share with someone my struggle and that there really is a better. But hear me, friend, you can be honest with, find a trusted person, a counselor, your spouse, whatever, one person, and be honest about where you are. And then trust God to lead you to what is possible. Healing is real. God's care is real, and you can start one place and journey on with Him, and it's a journey worth taking.
Absolutely. Great way to end it. Sandy Brown, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. So excited to see what God does through this book in the next several months.
Amanda, Jeremy, thank you. Appreciate you guys. Have a great day.